Welcome to Breaking Bread Podcast. My name is Rafael Figueroa, and I'm a lover of Jesus. And today we have Frank Corrales, and we met at a get-together in Peru, Indiana. We were just enjoying the presence of Jesus, and Jesus came by, and I met him, and a few of my friends met him, and we've been on chats on Zoom and Google Meets, and it's just been a beautiful time in the Lord, how God just keeps on bringing everybody together. And again, here is Frank Corrales. Did I say that right, Frank?
Corrales, yeah, that's correct.
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
All right. So, yeah, my name is Frank Corrales. I'm from northern Indiana, a small town called Melford in Kosciuszko County. I met Rafael in Peru, Indiana at a revival kind of conference at a small park. You know, it was interesting the way that we met. You know, people were getting prayer, stuff like that. And I came to observe and pray and, you know, blow some shofar, you know, in praise of our Lord. And, you know, I was fortunate enough for God to bring us there. You know, this idea of divine appointments, divine being supernatural and an appointment being a very appointed specific time, I think was in place for us to meet, as well as some of our other brothers that I had met that day. And since then, we've been in fellowship and in communication, you know, every couple of days, if not every day, in small periods of time. So feel very blessed to, you know, be part of the podcast, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord does.
Me too. I think Frank has a few scriptures on his heart today, and we're going to be digging into that. Again, this is Breaking Bread. So if it's fellowship, if it's testimonies, if it's the scripture, we're going to be breaking bread today. And I just thank God for this opportunity. What's on your heart today, Frank?
So, I mean, just the title of your podcast, your Breaking Bread, is part of a conversation that I had this morning. And I was fellowshipping with a new believer that was just baptized on Wednesday. It was a friend of mine that came to me about a month ago. We ended up having coffee, talking a little about Jesus. You know, they started showing up at church, scripture. I ended up giving a Bible away. And, you know, we were fellowshipping this morning just to kind of catch up after the baptism. And one of the scriptures that we had talked about was, you know, the daily bread and also the temptation of Jesus after the baptism. So what we had talked about is, you know, you know, for this particular person was their experience and their testimony. You know, Revelations 12:11 says, we defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the power of testimony and the willingness to give our lives even unto death, right? So the record of testimony is something that I've kept very closely of my own journey. And then also, you know, I encourage others to do journaling or keep notes. So for this particular individual or people that we have baptized, you know, we say, you know, pay attention to the first 40 days. You know, Jesus went out into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, and then he was tempted by the enemy. So the first scripture there, you know, the first part of scripture is that, you know, the enemy asks Jesus, you know, well, if you are the Son of God, you know, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You know, Jesus then replies, man must not live on bread alone. So the reference back to that scripture, you know, this being the daily bread, coming back to the word, you know, we need to be fed with the word, and then also the spirit. You know, Jesus talks about, you know, hungering for his word. And then also, you know, I think about the woman at the well when he says, I've got a, you know, there's a water that you can drink that you'll never go thirsty. So, you know, the one of the first scripture that comes up for me as I begin to walk this journey is John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So this brings me back to another beginning. So if we go back to Genesis 1:1, give me a second here. I'll get to the scripture. But there's another beginning there, right? So it says in the scripture, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless void or a waste, emptiness and darkness was upon the face of the deep, right? So as we begin this walk with Jesus, a lot of us are in a bad place. Void, dark, empty. We feel alone. So it's you know, when I begin to talk to people about my journey, that's where I feel that I was, you know, just like the beginning. It's a genesis, you know, it's a beginning, it's a start of a journey with Christ. And then, you know, as we begin to know Jesus, we come back into, you know, John 1. John had a particular relationship with Jesus, just like the four Gospels talk about. And so in that beginning, you know, when we start to realize that the Word actually lives, it's very exciting. So coming back to the Word and the daily bread, I think it's interesting the way that the Lord works and the way the Holy Spirit moves, just for the conversations that I had this morning. And
so Frank,
the next podcast. Yeah.
So daily bread, you know, Satan tempts him and says, hey, turn this stone into bread. Right. And Jesus makes a prayer a little bit later on. He says, give us our daily bread. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's the bread that is a stone, and you can try to turn that stone into bread, but it's not the same as the bread of life, as Jesus says he is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different types of bread. There's the stone. It's hard to eat. I can imagine trying to take a stone and it going through your body, man. Like, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt on all sorts of levels, right? And Jesus says, do not tempt the Lord thy God.
Yeah.
For it is written. And when Jesus is being led into the wilderness, the Bible talks about in two passages. One says he was led by the Holy Spirit. And the other, another scripture says he was drove into the wilderness. He mm-hmm. was drove there. Could you imagine like cattle being drove there, right? And the other one was led. So there's a leading and a drive when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants us to pray for our daily bread, not try to make our own.
Absolutely.
Right? He wants us to receive the bread of life. We have to get into that. And you were also talking about new Genesis, right? Genesis. Everything's new, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit started hitting me when you start saying that. And I'm just like, we definitely need a new Genesis. We definitely need a new Genesis every single day. And that's how Jesus prayed. Give us our daily bread, our new start today, God. Your mercies are new every morning. Sorry. I'm just trying to give you what I'm getting as you're talking.
No, that's great. So because I feel like in our relationship with Christ, it's you know, we've got to be willing, and also we've got to talk to him in order for him to talk to us. So give us this day our daily bread. It reminds me of the scripture in Matthew 7, where he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For anyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So now in 7:9 it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? So that's I've shared this scripture with a couple of people one time, and there was a guy that I knew from I know him from church, and he's from Haiti, and he said that there was times there that they would be hungry. And sometimes all they could do was pray. And then I heard a testimony from another guy who was talking about a missions work that he had heard somebody did in Africa, and that sometimes the parents would actually feed them small pebbles to swallow so that their stomachs wouldn't digest themselves. I thought this was interesting. So I began to look at this scripture, right? And it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Well, what if all we could do is just pray for them and offer Jesus? And I never seen it that way until we had talked about it like that, you know. Or and then we go on into Matthew 10, Matthew 7:10 here says, or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Right? So it's like, I think about that. And then this, the testimony of, you know, these families feeding their children small pebbles when they were starving, it really kind of reflects on the scripture a little bit. You know, give us this day our daily bread, you know, seek me. You know, and then you know, if we go back into the Old Testament, and I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I was reading earlier today that, you know, the Lord had fed them manna, you know, and then and there's like, well, we don't ever have any meat. So, you know, as we begin to ask, seek, and knock, you know, I feel like sometimes in our walks in life before we find Christ, you know, what is exactly that we're seeking? What are we asking? And are we knocking on the wrong doors? Because if I feel like you're looking for something, I feel like a lot of times we're looking for love in all the wrong places, if that makes any kind of sense.
So check this out. In the scripture, when it talks about manna, it talks about it being the corn of heaven, the bread of heaven. It talks about it being meat. It talks about it being different things, the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. And Jesus is called the bread from heaven, right? The bread of life. And he says, this is my body broken for you. So whatever you need. You know, food, there's certain nutrition and certain different foods that you need. But bread actually brings all these different aspects into one place.
Absolutely.
And Jesus says, whatever you want, you pray, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Jesus, we want you. Sorry. I'm flowing now, man. I'm flowing.
Yeah, let's just continue the flow. You know, the word talks about, this flowing of this living water. Right? So as I feel like as we, you know, we become indwelled with the Holy Spirit after we give our lives to Christ, you know, referencing back to this person that we baptized, you know, we baptized her, and then it was like one after another, we've had a small fire growing here locally where people were wanting to get baptized or they're asking questions. So I'm starting to see this flow of water. You know, a while back we had prayed and we had, you know, what had come up in prayer was, you know, floodgates opening. So there's some kind of flow here. And, you know, just continue flowing with that. I think about the Lord's Prayer. He's like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Right. So I think about the Lord's Prayer. And what I see it as is sometimes a template for us to go into our prayer, you know, asking for forgiveness, forgiving others, coming to the Lord first in praise and worship to him first, but then laying things down at the altar to be able to come clean to the altar and to be able to ask. You know, I pray a lot. You know, a lot of my prayer begins with praise. A lot of it, I'm asking for the forgiveness of my sins all the time because I feel like I don't want to miss anything. And I want to come to the altar to be able to ask, to be able to knock, and to be able to receive whatever it is that he would like me to receive. What are your thoughts on the Lord's Prayer as far as it being a template?
So I want to pause before I talk about that. So as you said, altar, I thought about how bread is made, right? And on the altar of God, there would be a fire continuously on the altar, right? To cook something, right? To cook the meat. You know, so God was constantly, for the sacrifice to be burnt up, to be a savoring taste unto the Lord, right? And God has called in this season for us to have an altar before him. People have left the altar and let other altars be built up, just like with Elijah. You know, in his time, he had to rebuild the altar because there was different types of altars. So what now this is kind of connects to what we were just talking about, the Lord's Prayer. Well, we call it the Lord's Prayer. But there was actually one prayer that he made. I always do that too. The prayer that he told us how to pray, for an example, was Our Father. You know, our Father. It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out as a relationship, just like at an altar when you go to get married. There's a sacrifice that has to be made upon the altar. You go to the altar to die. Marriages, they begin at the altar. And so, our Father, this is a covenant between God and ourselves. Our Father, who art in heaven, he's not just of the earth, but he is in heaven. He's not from beneath, but he's from above, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your name stands alone. Your name is holy. It is separated. It is great. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, not my kingdom, not the world's kingdom, not our ideas. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So something that's physical, spiritual, and a will of. That will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we are saying we have a Father up in heaven, and we're praying for his will to be done in the earth through us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Yesterday has passed. Jesus said, don't think so much about the past. Don't think about the future. Think about what's today. Give us our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Satan.
Yeah, Satan.
But Jesus tells us to pray that we do not, that we're not to be led to be tempted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lead us not into temptation. Lord, please don't lead us into that temptation. but deliver us. Don't leave us in the wilderness. Do not leave us in the wilderness, but deliver us from evil. Because we know who the deliverer is. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, when he actually prays in John chapter 17, I believe it is, he prays, he says, the glory that I once had with you, Father, give it to me now. He says, let me be clothed in the glory. And he mentions what it is, what the glory is. Do you know what that is, Frank?
So he says, I'm looking this up, and this is from the Amplified. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you have given him power and authority over all mankind, so he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Now, this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. So this is the Amplified version.
He says, in one part, I believe it is, he says, and this is the glory, that they know you, the only Father. I believe it says that in one part as well.
Yeah, he goes on to say, I have manifested your name to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept and obeyed your word. Now they know that all you have given to me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given them, and they received and accepted them truly and truly understand. So, like, you know, this is, you know, this is like what I mentioned, you know, as the word becomes to live, you know, we had made reference to John 1. So to me, when this started to happen, I begin to see the word live and move. And, you know, my baptism was a little different, you know, because my journey began with deliverance and then baptism. But let's pause right. We'll come back to this just for a second, because over the last 2 years, I've married, I think it's about 10 couples. And the one thing that I focus on is their vows, this covenant and what it means to understand that. Now, I try to use scripture the best that I can. And in reference to, you know, this is how and why you were created, and that the Lord, our God, our Father, is basically going to be in this. This is a blessing. So one of the things that I tried to help them with in the beginning is to remind them, you know, the scripture says that we are to love our God first, above all, with basically everything that we are, everything we have, all of our mind, body, soul, and then to love our neighbor second, which, you know, and then we go, you know, scripture goes on to say, love your wives as if you would love the church. Also touching in on the point where, you know, this part of, you know, I've got, yeah, give me, let me catch my thoughts real quick. Back to the covenant. Oh, where Jesus says, remember your first love. So this vow and this covenant that we make in the marriage of actually marrying a man and a woman reflects a lot on the covenant that we have made with the Lord, you know, where people have, they forget about these things. So touching back on a couple of things that you had mentioned, you know, altars and Elijah.
Yes.
You know, and people begin to idolize different things. And that's, you know, that's all no bueno, right? It's, none of that's good. So as Christ comes as our deliverer from evil, you know, he gives us away. You know, so here's an interesting thing, and then I'll share a testimony with you. So my buddy Israel and I, we had, you know, we were part of a fellowship, and we had made T-shirts. So we want them to be individualized because our walk with Jesus is all intimate in our own as we all fellowship together to become one and part of the church, right? So we decided to tie-dye shirts. So we had a couple local guys that are into, like, you know, like the hippie kind of scene. So we they helped us tie-dye shirts. Well, they had a festival or something that they were going to go to, and they asked, well, hey, we got to tie shirts. Would you mind coming to help us tie shirts? So as a, you know, to return the service that they had done for us, I went to tie shirts with them all week. And then they were like, well, why don't you come with us to the campground? So I was a little bit hesitant at first, but then one of the guys said, he was being funny, and he's like, yeah, we'll have a booth. And, you know, he's like, I'll give bad advice, and then you can bless everybody and pray for them. So it was a joke at first, but I ended up calling my buddy Israel, and I said, hey, I go, do you want to go to this festival and just go pray for people? So here's the thing that was interesting, because the band that was playing was the Grateful Dead. Now, the interesting thing that I did see was the people were in very close fellowship together. Now, it was all over the place. Because as we began to hear testimonies and people were fellowshipping together, they shared goods. They had like a tent city that was built up, right? And they, you know, they talked about love. There was a lot of mixing of different things, a lot of New Age, a lot of Eastern philosophy, which, you know, we tried to declare our purpose. You know, this is why we're here. And we ended up finding other believers, right? So our setup of the tents where we had our tabernacle was like the happening spot, because we were in discussion about why we were there. Hey, you know, we felt led here by the Lord to come and pray or and share testimonies with people. We ended up praying for a couple of people. And as we're leaving, the last song that I had heard was called Fire on the Mountain. And right away it clicked for me. I'm like, this reminds me of the battle of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in the book of 1 Kings, right? So you have these two altars, right? And then I kept thinking and praying about it. I'm like, you know what? The same battle on this mountain. What other mountain do we have in the New Testament? The Sermon on the Mount. So this fire on the mountain is like, to me, was like Jesus preaching in the same sense, you know, no gods of form, basically giving us instruction on how to live every day. And then, you know, tying back around, you know, I had mentioned this morning in the conversation with the gal that was baptized of, you know, these are our daily instructions, which brings me back to, you know, the bread. So this is, it's really interesting, you know, just to see where we're going here. But as, you know, as I continue this walk, you know, the word comes alive and it makes me think then, you know, how the Holy Spirit begins to dwell inside of our bodies, into our souls. So we start to, you know, we want to become more like Jesus, you know? So what I was told early on actually was the day that I found joy, true joy. And, I was on a phone call with a brother and he says, Frank, you know what walking with Jesus really is? It's the restoration of relationships, first with God through Jesus. And, when he said that, I felt this something moving up like through my belly, up my chest, into my throat, and then I began to smile. I thought of that old song from Bible school. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And it came from inside of me. And I had this perma-smile, which I couldn't stop smiling. So that's when I first began to experience the joy and the peace. You know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And my whole life began to change. You know, I started to remember these covenants. You know, God did this for me. He delivered me from the idols and the things that I was doing wrong. And it's been a process. You know, sanctification is a process. And as I continued forward, it's like more and more, you know, you start to understand the baptism of water a little bit more and then receiving the Holy Spirit. And as, you know, we continue further, you know, this fire that kind of burns inside of us. I felt like, you know, like the scripture from the book of Jeremiah, there's this fire in my bones. I just needed to tell everybody. And as this fire is burning inside me, it's like this purification is happening. You know, when gold is very, very refined, it's almost transparent, right? So this is just kind of where I'm going. Are you picking up? Is there anything resonating with you out of all this? Or
so you started talking about Elijah and his bones and refining. So I want you to think about this: fire refines gold, right? And as we were talking recently. About the glory of God, right? Mm-hmm. And what is the glory? Well, Jesus says, John chapter 17, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So the glory is to be one with Christ. It's to be one with the Father. And he says in the next verse, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Elijah, he had fire in his bones, just like Jeremiah, I believe. And fire refines. And I believe that's what we were seeing with the whole thing with Elijah. Like, even when he died, his bones carried glory inside of them. He went down to the ground, the man who was dead, into that grave. And he woke up alive and resurrected. Because it wasn't the flesh of the bones that did something, but it was something deep down inside of the bones that came out that did something. And we got to keep on doing that. And it'll work out every single time. It'll work out every single time when we let the glory of God come in and do what he does. Frank, I know you went out there for a second. And so I'm just going to repeat what I said so you can hear what I said again. So like Elijah, he had glory in his bones. I believe he has some glory in his bones. And when that man went down into that grave, he came back up because there was glory in his bones. It wasn't necessarily on the outside of his flesh, but it was something that was deep inside of his bones that changed a man who was dead to come back to life. And it's the same thing with Jesus and us. You know, the Bible says, and this is the glory. Jesus says, you've given me your glory. Now I've given them glory. And now we're going to change some bones. We're going to change some lives. Because you got to get down to the root of the matter when it comes down to sin. And you got to pull it up. You can't change the fruit without changing the tree first. So from the very deepest parts of us, we have to have that glory coming out of us. From the deepest part of our bones. And when that happens, everything else changes. And that's what was with Elijah. He had fire in his bones, just like Jeremiah. There was a fire. There was a glory of God ready to change people. And I'm ready for it to happen again. People are ready for the glory to come forth again, but it has to come forth out of the belly. It has to come out of the bones. There's a fire. There's a fire of glory that has to be released from our mouth, that comes from deeper than our mouth. It comes from every part of us.
So here's what's cool about what you just said, because when I begin to realize that there was these things and this sin that was deep rooted in me, I talked a little bit about this joy that I received and then this peace that I had. It lasted for a long time. And then I had remembered going to talk to a pastor friend of mine, and I said to him, and I said, "Brother," I said, "I don't remember the last time that I was angry or upset." And it was like, bam, like all these things started happening. I'm like, oh, geez, what did I do? So I had it was over a series of a couple of days. And I remember I was just praying and I'm just asking the Lord to show me something here's where it was. I did this devotional called Dangerous Prayers. Lord, search me. Search the things in my body, in my soul, in my mind, in my heart that are not of you. And all these things started to come out. And that first, I believe it was the first day or second day that I started that devotional, I'm driving through the country down this road that I've always driven. And I see this giant tree that was just uprooted and all the roots just sticking up. And this thing, like I know this tree, I rode by it on my bike as a kid, and it was just so uprooted. And I'm like, ooh, I'm like, this reminds me of the devotional. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying for me, like I started to experience it, man. And that was a rough season for me to where these things are coming out. When we talk a little bit about deliverance and deliver us from evil, there was a lot of things that I did. I used to work in nightclubs and bars. I used to party. I used to do a lot of things. And I'm seeing all these covenants that I had made or these idols that I had, smoking, drinking, drugs, or what I call it in short is like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And all these things are like, they're being uprooted from my soul. And, man, I cried and cried. I always tell people, you ever had that ugly cry? And, that's happened to me. There's been a couple of times where the ugly cry has happened. I remember shortly after I first got saved, I cried as hard as I could cry for about 3 or 4 days. And I remember, seeing my mother, and she's like, "What's wrong?" She's like, because she's got this, mother's heart trying to be there for her. She's like, "What's wrong?" And all I could do was just cry and just say, "Jesus." And she's like, "Well, what do you mean?" She's like, "What? I don't understand." I'm like, he's doing something to me. And I'm just pouring out and crying. It's like all these hurts and all these anger, all this stuff that I had buried just deep within my soul that I didn't realize was there. You know, so as you know, we're talking about the refinement process, you know, and this glory of God's glory coming through us. It's like, it literally, like, man, I felt like it literally was burning out of my body. And it came out in the form of tears. And bro, I am a hard crier. I'll tell you what.
Amen.
I really kind of let it wail out. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, I think about this now, and I think about the Lord's promises. The promises that he makes to us. And kind of the theme that I'm in this moment, you know, and the season that I was coming out of, is a lot of this past season was am I versus I am. Am I saved? Am I washed by the blood of Christ? Am I a new creation? And the answer is yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am saved. I was and I am washed by the blood of Christ. I am, you know, a vessel of the Lord. I am, you know, and it makes me think about Moses, you know. Well, who should I tell sent me? Well, tell him I am. I, you know, like I think about, you know, the rap music and stuff he said to you. I was like, you know, that was like one of the most gangster things in the whole Bible. Like, tell him I am sent you. So I thought that was really, really very powerful. You know, I say gangster, but I meant like very powerful. Where, like, oof. You know what I mean?
You said that's one of my favorite verses. Because literally there's multiple aspects in that. So he says, Moses, right? He speaks to the man, but I think he also speaks to the spirit. And so God is saying, I am that I am. That one right there. That I am.
Oh, yeah.
The one of everything. The word am in the English is am. It's a statement. It's a statement of soul, body, mind, and strength, right? And he says, I am that I am. And that's huge because he literally just got done speaking to Moses, saying, Moses. He does the same thing with Samuel. He says, Samuel. He does the same thing with Abraham in a way because he says, Abraham, because there was a win behind that second part. There was a wind. And Jesus speaks of the wind coming, right? He says, you don't know where it comes or goes, but you know it's there. He's speaking to Nicodemus like that. And that's what you get when you get to Abraham or Sarah instead of Sarai, you know? God speaks us. Okay, I'm going into this. God
sees
what he sees and what will be. A lot of people, when they say light, they're just like, yeah, it's already there, the light. You know, turn it on. And Jesus is similar. When he's speaking into creation, he said light. And when he's speaking to us, when he says Moses, He's thinking of the one who's going to be conquering the whole nation of Egypt in a day because of his power, the power of Christ, and going through the Red Sea. He's thinking of that Moses. When he's calling Moses out of the burning bush, he's talking to what he sees, not what is currently, but what is in total, what's happening. And God wants to do that with us. He wants to say Frank. He wants to say Raphael. You know, he wants to speak to that person who is. You know, because he is, he was, and he is to come. And the same thing is with us. We are, we were, and we are to come. In the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. And so did Moses. So did Abraham. And so did Joshua. So did Elijah. So did Elisha. And Jesus overcame it all. And that's what he does with us. He sees the overcomer, the warrior, the king, mm-hmm. He sees the Lord. The reason why he's called the Lord of Lords is because he is a Lord over us who are lords. He has made us lords. The reason why he's called King of Kings is because he has conquered and he has given us a fellowship, a kingdom, and made us a king in our region and in dominion, just like Adam.
So, you know, the story of Samuel came up in scripture today. You know, we were talking a little bit about Samuel's calling, you know, Samuel. And then also we talked a little bit about David versus Goliath. You know, David faces this giant. And we touched a little bit on the idea of, so David defeated Goliath with one smooth stone. So the stone made me think of the New Testament. Well, who is the rock? Who is the stone in the New Testament? So then it says that David took his sword and cut off his head. So I think of the sword in the New Testament. Well, what is the sword? It's the Word of God. So referencing back to, I think it's Hebrews 4:12, and then also 2 Timothy 3:16 about what the Word actually is. You know, how it's perfectly made for all things. And then how we are now to do battle with the Word. So going back to the temptation of Jesus, he uses the scripture to battle against the enemy. You know, so this is, I mean, this is kind of coming full circle here.
Dude, I got something to tell you after you get the chicken. I'm so, burning, you know, right now.
So I'm hearing this, right? And, so going from when I began this journey, like I said, the first beginning for me was, you know, this Genesis kind of beginning. Everything was dark, void, and empty, right? But I am that I am was present, okay? So then I begin to have this relationship with Jesus. So then it's in the book of John. The Word came to life. Now see where I am in this season now. Now there's another beginning. So where there's like, you know, things continue to grow and you progress. Well, now there's this beginning that I'm seeing, and it brings me to, you know, 1 John. Give me just a second. I'll pull up some scripture here. But this is kind of where I'm at in my current phase of my walk. You know, it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, or life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That, like, I'm just like, wow. So three beginnings, you know. So like, so as I think of my own journey, I think of like, okay, well, this was the first day, the first beginning. This was the second day, the second beginning with John, the Word of Life. And then there's the first John. This third day, these 3 days, it's almost like a resurrection, right? So as I become, you know, closer to Jesus and what I'm seeing in my journey, it's not me that's doing these cool things, but this vessel that I have become for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus to work through me, I am becoming this new creation in him and him in me. So this binding of the Spirit, it's really interesting to me. And like I said, I'm still a baby Christian, but I've only been on this walk for a little bit of time, but just to be witness is the most incredible thing. It's better than any party I've ever been to, you know, and hopefully that, you know, my hope is that, you know, to be at this fantastic banquet in the heavens, and that there is a place for me, you know. And, you know, I hope that I complete these works. And my only wish in life is to show up at the gate and him and me to go up to the gate and be like, hey, Jesus. And him be like, Frank. He's like, I've been waiting for you, rather than saying, who are you? I don't know you. Away from me. You know? So.
I was thinking as you were talking. You mentioned something about The Rock again. And Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, it says, "You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth." Right? It was, and he's talking to Israel, just for clarification. Because if you turn back your way on God, he's just like, "Hey, you forgot me." Right? But the Bible calls them the rock that the stone that the builders rejected, right? The Bible talks about us being built up like stones. There's a lot of analogies there. But going back to the daily bread concept of what Jesus was saying in the wilderness, you will not change the rock of your salvation to something he's not. And I think that's what really another thing that Jesus was saying. He says, "I'm not going to take what's a rock and change it to something corruptible." There's times where he says in the scripture, he says, if they do not praise me, the rocks will cry out in their places, right? And the Bible talks about in Ephesians how we're living stones together, showing forth the praises of God. And I think that's what you were talking about, man. You just want to be living stones praising to God. And so when he sees us, he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." A servant's kind of like a rock, you know? A servant's kind of like a rock. They're like a stone. Because you tell them to do something, they're going to stay the course, and they're going to stay in place, and they're not going to budge. They're there.
Yeah. So this is interesting. We took a lot of notes today, as we were fellowshipping, and I was like, I'm going to leave this here. We'll pick this up. But it's like, it's interesting to me how you begin to pray. You ask Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. And sometimes when you're in a conversation over here and then you come over here, and it's some of the same things that are being brought up. So, thinking about that day when, we arrive for judgment, we covered, talking about baptism, we talked about the baptism of Jesus, how the clouds opened up and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then our Father says to him, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." As we finish this race, that's what we all want to say: "Hey, well done. We've got a place for you. This is your place." And then, I had something. Oh, so here we are. So another place that we had went to in scripture. So it's, I feel like where this movement is happening, or at least in my journey right now, I make reference to Luke 4:18. Let me turn to that real quickly. But, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And let me see if I can find this.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.
So this is also in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61. It says almost word for word the same thing. So this is, evidence that, Christ is and was always, right? So this is Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening up the prisons to them that are bound. Now let's hold right there for prisons and they're bound, because where we begin our study this morning was talking about worship and worship and praise. So worship and praise, giving all the glory to God our Father, is the most important thing. So let's talk about being bound. Paul and Silas are in Philippi. And, you know, they're out doing the works and they're put into prison. So while they're locked up, they're shackled behind bars, they worship and praise. The chains fall off and the doors fly open. So they became unbound. And I think that's just incredible. So where I feel like, where I am at in this walk and a lot of people that I'm in fellowship, we are becoming unbound from whatever chains, from whatever things that we have had affecting us in our past. And now is the season for us to go out and do the works, you know, to pray, to cast out things and to lay hands and heal. I believe that it's possible. You know, there's people that have experienced in this journey that, they say that the apostles were able to do these things. But as we become witness, and what I've witnessed is that these things are possible. And, you know, referencing back to Philippians 4:13, all things are possible through Christ who is my strength. It's not me. It's not these people. It's his spirit that dwells among us. And as we go out to do these things, our only hope is to be led by the Spirit, to be used as a vessel. And that is the greatest glory to God. Because all things that happen are glory to him and will be glorified unto him. And that is the most beautiful thing, just to bear witness, to be witness to his glory.
Love it. Any closing words, Frank?
To reach this point, I always think about things that were said to me before I got saved. You know, you always got to do things the hard way, or quit being so stubborn. There's anything that I can say that's helped me more is humility. And believe me, there's times where I feel like, I think about people, they say, oh, you're a Bible thumper. Sometimes I feel like somebody should have grabbed their Bible and literally thumped me to remember that. So I think humility is the key. You know, blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Well, I love you, man. I really appreciate this time that we've spent. I'm going to pray us out. Lord, I thank you for the great conversation. This was such a blessing. Lord, I pray that anybody who has heard this or is going to hear this right now, God, that you would just touch them in the moment, if they're driving, sitting, whatever they're doing, God. I ask, Lord, that they would receive the bread from heaven, the bread of life. God, that they would eat of this, and it would become part of them, and they in turn would become part of you, God. Even more so, God, wherever they may be, God, in their walk in life or walk with you, God, let them come. The Spirit, the bride say, come in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.